write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one.
Thanks, Ashley. I asked her to read today's text before I came up. I'm going to grab this one. It's lighter. Besides, all those have things on them. As you can maybe tell, some of you who are usually here, we're actually starting a little bit early with the message. It's going to be a short message. I know I always say that. I'm going to work on making it real short. Just to clear a couple things, in the back there on the bulletin board by the monthly giving, I know Mike told you a little bit about, we have a spreadsheet there that will tell you what we got in the month of January, everything we brought in. Right above that is all the elders that we have ratified or selected. And the jobs that they are assigned to do, or the ministries that they are assigned to look over. And so if you have a question about a ministry or something that's going on, if you look back there, you'll find the elder who is in charge of that. Also on the back of your bulletins, we've kind of changed it, so the back of it has the elders there. Or if you have a question, you want to know what's going on, come and talk with me, and if I can't help you, I will direct you to the person who hopefully can. And I may just direct you to Jesus Christ, because he can help all of us and we all need it. But that is where it's at. Have you had one of those weeks? You know, just one of those weeks. Yeah, some of you are shaking your head. It starts back maybe a little bit more than a week. Maybe it was, you know, like Friday of last week or so, or, you know, Saturday. It's just been one of those weeks. And so today's message is hopefully going to be short, and then we're going to spend some time at the end of it just worshiping, just being in God's presence. Colin, go ahead and start with the slides up there. The first one should be a summary of last week. What did we talk about last week? Anybody, just real briefly, what was it last week? We talked about the new commandment, the old commandment. And John starts off by saying, it's not a new commandment I give to you, but it is an old commandment, and yet it is a new commandment. He kind of was trying to explain what that is. And in the first part, in verses 7 and 8, he really doesn't even tell us what the commandment is. He just kind of talks it. So we had to figure out what it was. The commandment was love, that we should love one another. Okay, and talking about that, and how is that new, and how is that old, and putting it all together. And the second part of it, verses 9 through 11, was applying that. And he actually went on and said, if you say you love God, but you hate your brother, you're not really applying this. So, you know, how can you tell if you're actually putting this commandment to practice and doing it? So that was last week, you know, talking about that, going with love and trying to love each other and work with love in each other. And that gets us to today's verse. Okay, where we are at today. And I know Ashley already read it for you, but Colin, next slide, it'll pop up there. It'll tell you where we're going with today's message. There's your envelope being delivered, 1 John 2, 12 through 14. The title of it in your bulletin says, "The Strong Needs Strength." But you know me, I had to change it. Okay, so Colin, can you pop it up there? See if it shows up. A spiritual pick-me-up. So that's what it is. The strong need strength is also a spiritual pick-me-up. And today what I want to talk about, today where I want to go with this is maybe you're just down and out and you just need a spiritual pick-me-up. That's kind of what today is. And if you're reading through 1 John, if you're following along and going through 1 John, you'll see how it's all written in kind of like in paragraph form. And then you get to this section, these three verses, and it's all weird. You know, it kind of jumps around. It's more like poetry or a poem or a song or something like that. It's different. It's really the only part in the Bible, in the New Testament, where this is done. You get into Revelation, and they're actually copying some stuff from Old Testament, and it's done. So John is changing. He changed his tune. He changed the way he's writing. He changed what he's doing in this one section, these three verses. So if you have your Bible, if you open them up, we are going to read through it again. This way you can follow along and you can see it. I don't know if there are any more bookmarks in the back, but we do have bookmarks that are set up, which will tell you kind of where we're at on which week. We are on week 6 of a 21-week series. So we're deep into it. We've got a long way to go. 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14 read like this. In the back corner there, I'm not really mean. Can you read that fairly easy, or do I need to still make it larger? Okay, a little bit bigger. Next week, well, no, next week I won't make it larger. But in 2 weeks, I will make it larger. Next week, I will be at Camp White Branch giving the message down there, and Pastor Frank will be here. But I will work on making the font larger. See, I made it cleaner. I've done that much at least. Okay, here we go. Here's what it says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. And then he kind of starts repeating himself. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And then I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Let's work on one thing real quick here. John, as he does this, why does he write to three groups of people? He writes to the children, he writes to the fathers, and he writes to the young men. I think what happens, and you can try to follow along with me, is he starts writing. He starts writing as he normally does, and he says, dear children, I write to you, dear children. And then maybe he stops and says, well, maybe this one time I better address the older men and the younger men. He likes, and if you go through 1 John, he actually uses seven other times, the twice in this section, but seven other times he uses the term dear children. So it's a term of endearment. These are the people that he cares a whole lot about. And he's affectionate for them, and he wants the best for them. And so he often writes dear children when he's writing to them. And he starts this one off by saying dear children. And then he says, well, maybe I better address the older men. Maybe I better address the young men. And so he breaks it up and he addresses them that way.
Yeah.
We don't really know, but let's kind of work with it that way. You know, you have the fathers who have been around, and if you read the verses for it, you have these fathers who have been around for a long time. And they've known Christ from the very beginning, and they've walked with him and stuff like that. They've had years and countless years with him. You have the young men who are strong and courageous, and they get out there and they're fighting the battle. And then you have the children. Now, as he writes this, split it into two halves. You have the first half and the second half. You have the children, the fathers, and the young men. And then you have the children, the fathers, and the young men. So women, you can just pack up your stuff, and you can go to Starbucks or wherever you want, and just take it easy today. It does not apply to you. No. It does apply to you. And if you get into it, some of you ladies are actually starting to go, right? No, it does apply to you. And it's just a term of endearment that he has. And if you continue to read through 1 John and parts that we've already read and parts that will be coming up, when he addresses the church, he addresses all of us in this way. But in this one section, somehow he's breaking up. Maybe in the language that he was using, it came out more as poetry and stuff like that. When we read through it, it doesn't have a real good flow to it. It doesn't flow naturally. If you sing a song in Korean, when you try to translate in English, it doesn't always work. Maybe that's what happened here. But needless to say, he is writing. And what he writes here, the things that he writes, apply to all of us and stuff. So we want to look at it. But what we want to do today as well is look at these three verses. Colin, go ahead and flip it one more, because then you'll get the second half of the today's text. There you go. We're going to take these verses and see how this verse, which seems to be plopped in the middle of where we're at, and how they apply to the letter overall. So you have today's text, just this little part, and you have the overall letter. How does it fit in? Okay? And we want to compare it. This may seem strange at first, but we'll try to tie it together. You want to compare it to a mother. Her daughter has gone off to college, okay? And she hears about there's been an outbreak of smallpox at the college that her daughter is at. And, you know, the words got around that there are quite a few people who have gotten the smallpox, and they've come down with it, and they're worried about some other people maybe getting it. The mother knows that the daughter's been vaccinated, and so she's not really worried about that. But she goes to the shop, and she gets a card, okay? She gets a card, and on the front it says, "I ask not that God give you wealth, but daily beg him for your health," okay? And then she opens it up, and she begins to write, "Dear
Ruth, don't misunderstand. I'm not writing you out of distress because I think you're among the victims of the smallpox outbreak. On the contrary, I'm rejoicing that you are well. Of course, I don't want you to get sick. Take the necessary precautions, but I write because my heart is full of memories and confidence. I recall how you once had measles and your face looked like a prize fighter in the 15th round, and how you got completely well. I remember how you were so brave back when the smallpox vaccinations were still given in our little town with a piece of broken glass. You took it without a tear, and now you've got that protection in your body. You've been so strong and healthy. It seems as I look back that when everyone else was falling with the flu, you conquered the enemy and hardly got the sniffles. You obviously know some wonderful secret. So hold on to what you've got. Take heart in the manifest work of God in your life. Keep yourself in his wonderful health. I'm full of joy in the gift of health that we share. Love, Mom."
Okay. Just from the reading, you can tell the concern and the care that this mother has for her daughter as she writes this letter. Carol, thank you for reading it. Why did the mother get this card? Why did she go through the trouble of going to the store and finding this card and writing all the information on it? Why does she go through this? First thing, anybody? Okay. First thing, she says, "I beg daily," it says on there, "I beg God daily for your health." And then she wrote, "I don't want you to get sick. Take the necessary precautions. Hold on to what you've got. Keep yourself in his wonderful health." So it's clear that part of the reason she's writing is she wants to encourage her daughter. She wants to spur her daughter on to avoid the sickness, to not get sick. First thing she wants to do is trying to do that. On the other hand, as she's writing, she says, "I'm not writing out of distress. I rejoice that you are well." She spends most of the letter that she's writing to her daughter about things she remembers, how well she's been, how quickly she recovered, when she got the measles and stuff and her face broke out and looked like a prize fighter, and how she recovered from that. And at other times when people were getting sick, she always somehow managed to stay well. She says, "I'm not worried that you're going to get this, no." And stuff. She says, "I'm not worried that you're going to get the smallpox. I know you've been inoculated, okay? I remember what happened back then." So she's trying to encourage her daughter. What's the relationship to these two? The mother wants to intensify her daughter's appreciation. She's trying to spur her daughter on, give her the confidence that her strength is there. And on the other hand, she wants her to hold on to the health that she's got. Don't go out and party. Don't go out and eating all this wild stuff. Exercise your things. See, there's the two things going on. I know you've been inoculated. I'm not worried about that. But you still need to do what you can do so that you don't get sick. Okay? That's kind of where the mother is at. That's what she's writing about. Take this letter that has been written, these two strands, and apply them to today's text. That's what John is doing. He's sitting there saying, I've got two ideas here. One is overcome the evil one, fight the evil one. Colin, go ahead and switch slides here, and he'll show you there's two strands in this one as well. The first strand, when he goes through and he's talking, and at the kind of the very beginning of this chapter, it's in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "I am writing this to you that you may not sin." Be careful, don't get sick. I'm writing to you so that you don't get sick. Don't come down with this. Don't come down with whatever is out there and stuff. Fight it all you can. Then he goes on and writes in chapter 2, verse 26, "I write this to you about those who would deceive you." There are germs out there. There is a disease out there that you need to be wary of. You need to watch out for that. You need to protect yourself against that. See, that's the one strand that he's writing. The first strand, you know, there's a disease out there, and John is trying to warn us to avoid this disease, to be careful of it. There are other people who are carrying this disease, and you need to do what you can to protect yourself from it. Okay? On the other hand, he's writing, and the second strand is down there. It says in 2:21, I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. See, he wants to encourage them. You know what the truth is. And then later on, we'll get to it. And this carries all the way through the chapter, all the way through the book of 1 John. He's talking about this and talking about this. You get to the very last chapter in 5:13. He says, I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. See, there's two strands. The first strand in the letter and in this section is up there. I'm writing to you that you don't get sick. There's a disease out there. Be careful. But I'm not worried. I'm not worried about it because I know you know what the truth is. And that's what he's writing when he writes to the men and to the older men and to the fathers. He writes this. Listen again. It's verses 12 and halfway through 13. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. And I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. Not because you're sick, but because you're well. I'm writing you because you're well. The two strands. So why is he writing these two strands? Why is he doing this? Why is he encouraging them? Why is he spurring them on? He wants to give them confidence that they know who Jesus Christ is. They've been inoculated. They have Jesus Christ in their life, and so they don't have to go on sinning. They don't necessarily have to worry about sin. See, there's a confidence that comes with that. And hopefully, when they have that confidence, they'll be vigilant. Knowing that they have Jesus Christ, knowing that he is with them, knowing that they've been inoculated, they will do what they need to do to keep following and keep practicing and not sinning. There are kind of three things that go along with this. The first case, John says way back in chapter 1, verse 7, remember what I said back in chapter 1, verse 7. Don't go on walking in darkness, because only if you walk in the light will the blood of Jesus cleanse you from all your sins. But your sins are forgiven. See, that's the first part of this. Your sins are forgiven. Children, your sins are forgiven. You know Jesus Christ. In the second case, he would say, remember what I said back in chapter 2, verse 4. Don't go on disobeying God's commandments, because if you do, your claim to know Christ would be a lie. But you do know him. You've known him from the beginning. See, this is the old man. He says, you know Christ, okay? You are forgiven, and you have known him from the beginning. And the third part of all this is, remember, it will come up in chapter 3, verse 8, that don't go on sinning, because if you do sin, you are of the devil. And he's been warning us of that. He says, you don't have to worry about that. You have overcome the evil one. See, there's a line that follows here. Your sins are forgiven. You know him who was from the beginning. And you have overcome the evil one. That's what he's writing about. As he addresses these three groups, as he addresses the children and the fathers and the young men, he's addressing them, telling them, your sins are forgiven. See, when the children, he does it, he says, your sins are forgiven. You have known him from the beginning. And the strong young men, you have overcome the evil one. We are not bound by that. Let's do it this way. Let's take it to another story. There's a soldier who is fighting at war. And he's down in this foxhole, and he's covered in mud in this foxhole. And he's there, and he's worried about when he went AWOL. He went AWOL, and while he was gone, his troops were attacked, and the troop was overrun by the enemy, and he's in this foxhole. And he feels all alone. And his commander, the person that he thought he knew, has gone off and is fighting a front somewhere else. And this soldier is in this foxhole by himself because most of his company is gone. His commander has left him. He feels he's all alone. And then he looks up. And as he looks up out of this foxhole, there's the enemy completely surrounding him. What's the soldier going to do? You feel all alone. You kind of have maybe abandoned your company. You went AWOL, and while you were gone, things happened to them. Your commander is off fighting a front somewhere else where they're actually making progress. Okay? And then you look up, and you're completely surrounded. See, John is trying to give them courage. Your sins are forgiven. You do know him. You know Christ from the very beginning. You have overcome the evil one. The soldier who was in that situation, he would give up. You have no choice. You don't have anybody fighting with you. The guy who's supposed to lead you is off and gone. You're surrounded by the enemy. You're going to give up. You don't really have a choice, do you? That's where John is writing from. He's not saying to give up. If you follow along in the readings there, he's writing to give you hope. You're not alone. If you went AWOL, if you did something, say last week you gave in to temptation. Something happened to you. Your sins are forgiven. See? That's what he's trying to say. If you feel like you're alone, you're not alone. Your commander is not off. Jesus Christ is not off somewhere else fighting a battle somewhere. He's right there with you. The enemy doesn't necessarily know it, but Christ is right behind him. The cavalry has come. That's what he's trying to say. That's what he says in this. You have known him from the beginning. He's never, ever going to abandon you. And if you get to the end of verse 14, catch this part of it. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. The key part there, the word of God. You're in the foxhole. You're discouraged. You're down and out. Things aren't going right. You think God is gone. You have the word of God. The word of God for this soldier would be the machine gun. He's down inside this foxhole, okay? And the word of God comes to him, and he's got the power. Okay, the machine gun is there. The gun is there. He's able to conquer the enemy because of it, to give him hope, to give him courage. The Bible does tell us that the word of God is a sword, okay, and to use that. What John wants to do is he wants to give the soldier, he wants to give you something that you can fight with. You are not alone. Your sins are forgiven. That's what this is all about. You have God's word that assures you that he is there with you all the time. That you can know if you've messed up, if life just isn't going right, God is there with you. He's not going to abandon you. He's in the fight with you. But it goes on a little bit more than that. The word of God is the thing that is inside the soldier that causes him to stand up and to get that courage, to get that strength, and to fight the battle again. To stand up and wipe the enemy out. To take the gun and clear all of the enemy that is surrounding him in the foxhole and to keep pressing on, to keep moving on. Your sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. You know him who was from the beginning. He's not far away. He is right there with you. And he is behind the enemy, ready to take the enemy out. John wrote this text this morning, this part. He's taking a break from all the stuff that we've been talking about. For those of you who are out there and you're fighting the battle and you're pressing on, today's text may not necessarily be just for you. But for those of you who are in the foxhole, those of you who are down and out today, it's just been a rough week. It's been a rough month or a rough year. Things just aren't going right. You're wanting to give up. You know, life just is not fair. Life isn't happening. That's what today is about. You have known him from the beginning. Christ is right there with you. John writes this. He wants to take the cloud of darkness that has settled into you, and he wants to lift it off and to give you hope. He wants to put God's word. He wants to put the gun back in your hand so that you're ready to go on and keep fighting. To not just surrender, to not just give up. I was running this morning, as I normally do when I'm getting up to preach to relax. Some of you think I actually walk out the door and maybe do a couple laps around the block. Not a bad idea. But I was running, and the illustration of the soldier keeps going through my head, and I keep working on it. And I got another one. Okay, you find yourself out in the middle of the desert, and you're walking, and as far as you can see in front of you, there's nothing but sand. And you're thinking, I'm going to keep going and going. Okay, so you say, okay, well, I'm going to change. And you look, there's still nothing but sand. And maybe you turn everywhere I've been, there's nothing but sand. You're out in the middle of the desert. You got nowhere to go. Wherever you look, wherever you see, it's nothing but sand. It's just you and all that sand. And the sun is hot. And you're tired. And you just want to give up and sit down and say, I've had enough. I'm done. What God wants to do, why this is written, is God wants to take it and go, and there's an oasis for you to find rest. There's a tree for shade, and there's some water there for you to drink. That's what God wants to do. If your life this week has not been going good, if you're just tired, you just need a break, that's what this text is about today. That's what John is wanting us to do, is to take a break. To encourage us. Fellow soldiers, fellow sinners, there is good reason for hope. When your face is in the mud, when you are limping in, maybe something has happened to get you down. Call the next slide. First one. Summary. Children, keep going. You're right. It's the summary. Your sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. Your sins are forgiven. You know that Christ has been king forever. And you can be assured that his enemy and your enemy is defeated. We started this early today so that we could take some time, and the worship team's going to come on up here, and we're just going to spend the next whatever it takes. There's five or six songs there. We're just going to spend time worshiping. And if you're down in the dumps, and you just want to just sit there and be in God's presence, then do that. If you want to stand up and sing with us, you can. If you need to come to the altar and you need someone to pray with you, find someone to pray with you. If you need someone to pray with you where you're at, we can pray with you where you're at. Life is not always easy. Sometimes it's hard. And there are times that we get down and times that we're in the dumps and we just want to give up. This section that we've read today, it's to encourage us. Why does he repeat it? Why does John go on and what he says? It almost says it again, verbatim. Because sometimes when you're down and out, sometimes when you're so distraught, you may not hear it the first time. So he says it the second time to encourage it. He wants us to hear it. He wants to make sure that we have heard today's message. So he says it twice. I write to you, children. I write to you, fathers. I write to you, young men. And some versions even say, I have written to you, children. I have written to you, fathers. And I have written to young men. He says it twice so that we hear him. If you're in battle and the struggle's going on around you, you may not hear the command the first time. So he repeats it so that we know. He wants to make sure that we know that our sins are forgiven. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you're at in life. Jesus Christ is right there with you. And because of that, the enemy, your enemy, my enemy, has been defeated. The victory is ours. Let's regroup. Let's find hope in that. If you've been struggling, why don't you join us in worship? And if you can't sing the song because you're just too down and out, spend time listening to them. And let God come and Jesus come and embrace you. And let his spirit fill you. And if you need someone to pray with you, we can pray with you.